Start a small business. No need to work 40, 50 hours a week, slaving your life away. Obtain financial freedom. Be your own boss and create your own destiny. Moguls are the new superstars. The path to country club membership and at least Mercedes-Benz is paved in gold as you take your business trips to Orlando or Vegas. Validation from your in-laws is just an LLC and Facebook business page away. At least, that's what they tell you anyways. Through social media, websites, and targeted ads, you're sold an image. Small business owners seem to walk on water. You'd think you're the last person on earth working a regular job with a regular boss. But there's trouble in paradise, and its name is In Over Your Head. People start looking to start their own business, don't know what they don't know. But that's why we started our Small Business Confidential podcast, to share what we've learned from years of experience. There's not a lot of people in on this, so remember, dear podcast listeners, you heard it here first, off the record, on the QT, and very hush-hush.
Hi, everybody. We're back again with another exciting podcast from the Small Business Confidential. And with me is one of my compadres in podcasting, Mike Ferrante. Mike, good morning. And are you ready for the big game coming up?
I am so excited, and I just can't hide it.
Okay. Well, folks, we're taping this in Cleveland. Beautiful sunny day on a Saturday after Thanksgiving. And this is rivalry weekend in for football around the country. And Ohio State's playing Michigan. And I should say, full disclosure, I'm kind of torn about who I'm going to root for. I'm leaning towards Ohio State. But my youngest son went to Michigan, so, and I love Ann Arbor. So, anyways, win or lose, I'm not going to be disappointed. So, Mike, it's the holidays. It's, on a Thanksgiving long weekend when you're not working on Friday, you always get mixed up. It's Saturday? That's what I was thinking yesterday. I kept reminding, no, it's Friday. Tomorrow's Saturday. Well, today is Saturday. And one of the things that I keep reminding myself is all the things that I'm planning to do this weekend, how many of those things actually get done? How about you?
I've got my list, Mike. You know, one of the things is the holiday lights. So that's going to get done. Changing the battery on the one camera that's dying. All those things that you kind of store up that you have to get done when you have the time.
Yep. Okay. Well, you got the weather too. You not only got the time, but you got the weather. So no,
yes,
absolutely no excuses, which leads us into the subject matter I want to talk about, which is making time to think and plan. Now, we've talked about goals. We talked about business plan, listening to the market, the importance of selling. But I want to really focus on time because during a Thanksgiving break, if you're not working and you have your own business and you don't have to do anything necessarily connected on the day-to-day business, this is the time when you really need to sit yourself down after, of course, you've hung the lights and fixed the battery, right, Mike?
That's but right.
One of the most important things is actually sitting down, having that second or third cup of coffee, sitting down with a legal pad, whatever, and really reflecting about how the year's going and how you want to finish the year. Because the lessons you learn, the most important lessons, are usually something that's happened in the short term immediately before you forget about it, before nostalgia just sort of, you know, covers it up. Your thoughts?
It's huge. I think that a lot of people make the mistake of they do step one, which is setting the goals, making the plan, but then they don't take the time to look backwards and reflect on what went right, what went wrong. And in our business, we talk about, okay, the things that went right, what things are you going to do more of? What are you going to double down on? And the things that went wrong, how are you going to change them? Or are you going to eliminate those things?
Right. And that's where having a working journal can be so important. So if you've made a mistake, I shouldn't have done this, or next time I got to be aware of this, or if you have a business that's seasonal, that's weather dependent, You're going to want to make notes about, you know what, I should have banked some inside work in case I get a freak snowstorm that hits, you know, the Cleveland area. Those things put in your journal, and then make time to review your own journal. Don't just write it down, you know, maybe once a week. Summarize your year as it's going so that you can look back and you can look at that year, but also you can look at past years and you can see a little bit, you know, what I call the treetop view. Your thoughts?
It's the whole, you know, seeing, not being able to see the forest for the trees, or working on your business instead of in your business. I think especially this time of year, when things potentially slow down for a lot of businesses, that's the time to step out of the day-to-day and look at the big picture results, the 50,000 feet from above view. I think it's huge, Mike.
Right. And I think when you're, first of all, when you have your own business, there is nobody telling you what to do, which is a good thing. The bad thing is there's nobody telling you what to do. You are your own boss. So God forbid that you prepared for running your own business after years of complaining about your bosses. Okay, you're complaining about your bosses. Well, guess what? Now you're the boss. Take a good look in the mirror, and the person you better start blaming is you. And the first thing you're going to realize is you're going to have a fresh perspective of all those complaints you levied at your past bosses. Thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, I think that the thing that I see, Mike, and I'm sure you see it a lot in the trades, is that just because you're good at your trade, you know, whether that's painting or carpentry or real estate, whatever it is, doesn't mean you're good at running a business. And I think that's the mistake that a lot of people make. Oh, I'm a really good plumber. I'm going to start a plumbing business.
Yeah, but are you good? Are you good at hiring? Are you good at organizing? Are you good at dealing with customers?
Are you managing money, budgeting money?
Are you overcharging? Oh, no, God forbid you're overcharging. How about undercharging, mm-hmm. which is the classic mistake that people who have their own business. I remember teaching my daughter, my oldest, when she came back from college her first year, freshman year. She was going to get these typical, you know, job where you're a camp counselor at her former private school in the summers. It was kind of what I call a finishing school type summer job, socially acceptable, not making a lot of money. And really, you know what, really, who gives a shit that you did this in the summer, as opposed to starting her own business. And what she did, with her dad pushing her hard, she loved doing family movies. So she sent out a flyer to our circle of friends and saying, how would you like to do a family movie? And she got a couple of contracts, and she made, in the three movies she did, what she would have made two summers working at this summer camp with minimum wage. And I told her, you know, Lindsay, do you want to work 40 hours at 10 or 20 hours at 20? So the ability to make time to think is also to ask your critical question of yourself. Think about, are you making money at the end of the day? What did you actually make last week for the whole week? And when I say how much you made, make sure you deduct all your expenses, the gas, the truck payment, the insurance. I had to buy this tool, or the office rent, or whatever, because that's going to tell you whether over the course of time, whether you are on course to actually make the money you should be making if you're taking a risky venture of having your own business.
Yeah, I have something to add to that, Mike. And this is something that most small business owners don't think about, is the expense of their time. And let me elaborate on this. So I would argue that a lot of small business owners don't own a business, they own a job. And what I mean by that is when you're looking to, back to say, did I make any money? And you say, yeah, I made $2,000. Well, how much labor, how much of your time did you do in labor to make that money? If you labored 50 hours and you made $2,000, well, guess what? You know, you really didn't make that much money. You made a wage, but your business didn't make you a profit. And there's a difference between owning a job and making an hourly wage and owning a business and making a profit.
You know, one of the problems with figuring out whether you're making a profit or not, Mike, is think about in our conversation, there is a, I don't know how to describe it. I was telling my wife this the other day, but there is a prejudice or a bias against talking about how much money you're making. I mean, it's kind of like talking about your sex life. I mean, nobody goes around and, but the, at the end of the day, it's when you're a professional, when you have to, your business has to provide you with the money to maintain your lifestyle, to put food on the table, you better be making money here. And you better figure out what's making money and what's losing money. What is the best use of your time? Because at the end of the day, it's a brutal, light binary choice. You're either making money or you're not making money. And if you're not making it money, then you're leaning on your wife to get a second job, or she's, or her main career. I don't want to go back to the 50s here. Or you're leaning on your family, and your family is subsidizing your inefficiencies, because at the end of the day, you're not making money. And if you have a business, number one is making money to support yourself.
Yeah. And I think learning from mistakes is huge. You know, as you were telling that story, Mike, I thought back to my early days as an entrepreneur and all the mistakes that I made. You know, like we've talked about this before, for many years, I was a painter. I had a little painting business. And you talked about leaning on your family. I can't tell you how many times I had to borrow money from mom. You know, I was not running my business well. You know, it wasn't that I was stupid. I just hadn't learned the skills yet to run a business effectively. And I was that guy. You were talking about me right there. I was leaning on my family to help me over the rough spots because I was not running my business well.
Right. Well, there was a prominent restaurateur in Cleveland who's running into some problems, had to close a bunch of restaurants, and is now down to one restaurant from five restaurants. And what I learned in talking to one of his vendors was that supporting all of that was a big food supplier that was basically underwriting this huge expansion. And when they pulled out, suddenly this guy is on his own. And it really tested something he really wasn't very good at, which was being a businessman. You know, phenomenal chef, renowned cook, but not a very good businessman. And I think that, you know, when you talk about Small Business Confidential, this is talking about the inside game, about having your own business.
Hey, let's stop here. We got to pay some bills. 30 seconds, and we'll be back.
If you enjoy listening to our Small Business Confidential podcast, we're sure you'll enjoy our first podcast, The Cleveland Real Estate Investor. We give outside investors an inside look into the real estate market in Cleveland. Cleveland has been on the rise, and investors from all over see those cheap prices and salivate. Our job is to educate those investors and steer them in the right direction with several years of experience of how to do it right and many examples of how to do it wrong. Find the Cleveland Real Estate Investor podcast on any app you listen to your podcast today.
There's a lot of businesses out there that are not businesses, they're hobbies, because they're being supported by, you know, there's a lot of strings there supporting somebody. They're not self-supporting. Now, right now, you're a Century 21 Realty company. You know, you've learned your lessons and you're self-supporting.
That's right.
I had no family money supporting me. And there were some brutal times. You know, the old cliche about covering payroll, that is real. Because if you're not covering your payroll, your employees are going to quit. And when they quit, your business is now it's back to you being the one-man band. And all your infrastructure is going to collapse, which then leads me to the other thing, controlling your expenses. We talked about making money, right? And making the time to think about whether you're making money. Now, there's two sides to this. There's the revenues and there's the expenses. Yeah, okay, that's brilliant. Yeah, everybody's out there thinking, yeah, thanks, Mike, I get it. No, hey, really think about it. Expenses. Do you really need a fancy office, a fancy building? Really? Maybe you get a duplex out in the country somewhere. You're renting out the first floor, using the second floor as an office, and then you got the backyard as your, as your shop, quote unquote. What can you do to really whack expenses down to the bone? Do you really need to lease the Lexus? Do you really need this? Do you really need that? The fancy office, et cetera, et cetera. Because if you can whittle it down so that your nut is very manageable, then you can weather tough times better. Thoughts?
It's so true, Mike. I was just doing this exercise recently where I was going through all of the different things that we subscribe to. So I was going through the credit card statement, looking at each marketing tool, each bit of advertising. I'm kind of simplifying it for the purpose of this conversation, but everything I spent money on just recently, I spent an hour one day and just went through it and said, you know what? Is this a good idea or a bad idea? Is it making me money or is it an expense that is just a waste? And I did that exercise and it was very helpful. It brought up some great questions. And at the end of the day, I ended up not making any changes, but I felt good about it. I felt good that I had, checked my efficiency on those expenses and I was pretty happy with where I was.
And we talked earlier podcast about the importance of setting goals and then following them up. And, we made this point endlessly that most people don't have any goals. It's all reactive. So everybody out there, starting today, let's see how this works. If you want to take this challenge, write down every day in a journal or just on a calendar, write down in parentheses, how much time did I actually take today thinking without interruption, without the TV on, with a legal pad, maybe music, some, jazz, classical, whatever, spa music in the background, that two cups of coffee, whatever, and just really think. And trust me, it's going to take you at least an hour to get into the zone of thinking, because you're still in, checklist mode. Got to make the bed, got to do the laundry, got to cut the grass, got to rake the leaves, got to do this, got to do this, got to do. No. Now comes the block of time for thinking. And I want you to think about, imagine if you were losing weight and getting yourself in shape. First thing you got to do is write down what you're eating. Are you having three pieces of pizza? Are you eating a lot of starch, a lot of sugar during the day? Or you're like Mike Ferrante, pure veggie, right, Mike?
That's right.
Vegetarian. Okay. But no, I'm just saying, write down everything you're eating and use MyFitnessPal, which is great because it'll break down the sugar, the carbs, the protein, etc. Are you having salmon with a salad for lunch, or are you having a quarter pounder with cheese? So what are you actually eating? The second thing is, how much exercising are you doing? Now, the exercising is your think time, because you should be exercising. And I'm talking about something as simple as taking a walk for an hour, a 60-minute walk. Put your headphones on, listen to a podcast, book on tape, music, whatever you like to do, or maybe use that time to actually think about what you're doing. with your business. But I remember a Jesuit at my high school, St. Ignatius, told me that prayer is active thinking, praying. It's not mumbling, Our Father, Hail Marys, whatever. It's actually thinking about your life and getting in touch with yourself. So thinking equals exercise. Writing down what you eat equals writing down how much money you made, how many hours you worked, which translates into your man hour profit. Did you work 100 hours and make $800? Then you made $8 an hour, right? Less your expenses. What actual expenses? How big is that nut that you have to cover? Those are the real basics about thinking. And finally, what'll happen with thinking is I want you to imagine a series of doors. Door A, door B, door C, door D. And I want you to think about expanding your view about what your choices are. Okay? So if you have a restaurant, do you want to be open 7 days a week? That's door number A. Door number B would be, we're going to eliminate brunch on Sunday. We're going to only go to 5 days a week. I'm going to charge more, for the entrees. I'm going to scale down what my menu is. I'm going to pay my guys, people more, because hiring help is hard to do. But you know what? You got door A, you got door B, door C. I'm going to turn it into takeout. So look at your business and look at how, challenge yourself and say to yourself, there are options. I need to start seeing what those options are. Your thoughts, Mike?
I'm proud to say, Mike, that I've grown since the, young man who was floundering in the painting business, and I do all that stuff. But the whole concept of planning and thinking about your business, it sounds trite to talk about it, but it's so important. The other thing that came to mind, and as you were talking about those things, when you see the holes in your business, when you see the deficiencies, you have to figure out how to patch those holes too. And I think that, we were talking about the seasonality of the holidays and how there might be downtime. I think that one of the things that we miss out on is working on skills. It's a great time to work on your skills to, read something, take a class, get involved in a mastermind group. These are all things that you can do to patch the holes in your business.
Right. And the most important thing is to constantly challenge yourself in a loving and respectful way. If you're not making money, you're doing something wrong. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you're a moron. It doesn't mean you need to go back to college and get an MBA. No, it means there is a hole in the boat. There's a hole in the water pipe. And you're waking up with a big water bill. There's a leak somewhere. Now, you can find what this leak is, but you're not going to find it if you're not giving yourself time to think. Okay? That's why think time is so important. It's walk around the house. Take a look at the house. Is the gutter falling down? Is there a hole? Look at your house is your business. And look at it in six different ways. And challenge yourself. Don't delude yourself. And we've talked about that in earlier podcasts. There's nothing wrong with failure or mistakes as long as you don't ignore it or keep repeating it. Final thoughts, Mike, before the big game?
Yeah, it's a great lesson. And it's important, especially this time of year, to make the time to reflect on this stuff and patch the holes. I can't stress that enough.
Okay. Well, look, if you got your own business and you're drowning and you want to use us as your consultants, go to our business, which is you can go to either RileyPainting.com or RileyProperties.com. You can see what we're doing. Or you can go to Mike's website
Yeah, 21mike.com. There's a link right there. I love to talk business, especially if it's real estate related. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that I wish more people would do is just reach out, have a conversation with people who've done it.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a whole consulting business we're setting up. We're getting more traction on this podcast. And go to our other podcast, which is the Cleveland Real Estate Investor, because we've been doing that for a couple of years. But we're going to start expanding this out. We're going to have, you know, more guests. But listen, you know what? Having your own business is a great, can be a great thing. Having a family business can be a great thing. But there are things you need to know. There are things you have to learn. And most of the time, you're not going to learn it if you get an MBA, I can assure you. So that's my final thought. Mike, good talking to you. We will pick this up next week. And whoever team you're rooting for, I hope they win. Mike.
Sounds good. All I'll say, Mike, is OH.
Okay, everybody. We'll pick this up in a week. Thanks, Mike.
Yep.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Small Business Confidential. To support, please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Also, add our podcast to your favorite streaming services. Everything is appreciated, and we'll be back soon with another episode and upload schedule. The person voicing the intro's name is Travis Wright, and the music was done by our engineer, me, Amari.